Have you been to the airport lately? Before you can go to the gate from where your plane departs, you have to go through a security check. As you approach the first area, they have guide lanes, and you can go in those guide lanes about four or maybe five abreast. But once they check your ID and then they check your ticket, you have to go single file. And then you have to go through what looks like a gate. It is very sophisticated. It is a sophisticated metal detector. They want to make sure that no one is carrying a weapon or some kind of an explosive device. Each of us has to go through the gate alone. It is very confined, very close on both sides, a very narrow gate. And not only do we have to go in alone, we have to go in almost naked, as it were. They don't ask you to take your clothes off, but they strip you of everything else, including your shoes. If you are carrying a briefcase or a purse or a computer or a cell phone or a PDA or a Bible even, that cannot come in with you. Those things have to go on a conveyor belt and then through an X-ray machine. And when you think about it, you lay the greatest weapon in the entire world, the Bible, on a conveyor belt to be X-rayed to see if it is an explosive device. And the greatest security system in the United States can't even detect it. Anyway, each one of us has to be stripped of everything to enter a very narrow gate before we can receive entrance to fly into the heavens. And it is a reminder of what Jesus says in Matthew 7. Let's look at it now, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now the hearers on that day were faced with a decision, just as you are this evening, faced with a decision between two radically different ways. One is the way of God, the other is the way of the world. One is the way of life, the other is the way of death. John Oxenham, the British poet, wrote it this way: to every man there opens a way and ways and a way. And the high soul treads the highway, and the low soul gropes the low. And in between, on the misty flats, the rest drift to and fro. But to every man there opens a highway and a low, and every man decides the way his soul shall go. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Jesus says that there are only two choices: the narrow gate, the narrow way, or the wide gate and the wide way. That's it. There are no other alternatives. None. Look how Jesus puts it. Jesus gives us five sets of twos. He says there are two gates, two ways, two ends, two travelers, two decisions. Two gates, two ways, two ends, two travelers, two decisions. First, two gates. One is wide and one is narrow. The wide gate is the entrance to the kingdom of this world. The narrow gate is the entrance to the kingdom of heaven. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Every man stands before the wide gate. It is immediately before him, right in front of his face. In fact, it is the only gate that is facing him. It is so close to him that really no entrance is really necessary. All he has to do is just take a step and he's entered. He's in it. And there isn't anything that holds him back. There are no hindrances at all to the wide gate. Nothing to keep a person from entering it. A person naturally stands before its wide open doors. Plenty of people, in fact, masses of people can enter and are entering into its wide doors at any given time. And a person has plenty of company on entering. It appears to be the only gate because there is so much growth around it, there's so much activity around it, so many people entering into it. And the wide gate is wide enough to take all comers, to include all. All philosophies and beliefs, no matter what or how extreme, all appetites, all passions, all liberties and licenses, all sin, all selfishness. The gate is thrown wide open so that any and all can enter. The wide gate stands wide open, and many never even think of another gate, much less look for one. But there is another one. Jesus calls it the narrow gate. Now, the narrow gate is really not seen. A person has to search for it in order to find it. It is both narrow and it is facing the opposite direction from the wide gate. In other words, it's not immediately or naturally seen. And it can only be found if you turn to find it. What does the word repent mean? It means to turn. It can only be found if one turns to find it. It has to be sought, and it is difficult to enter when it is found because it is so narrow. The narrow gate to the kingdom of God is Jesus Christ. You see, the question is not what is the way to heaven. The question is who is the way to heaven. In John 10:9, Jesus said it. He just used another word. He said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." Acts 4:12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And that way is too narrow for most people. People say, "Christianity is way too narrow for me. I admire Jesus and all of that. I admire what he said, but I don't like the exclusiveness of Christianity. It is too restrictive. It's too bigoted." There are people who say, "All paths lead to God, all of them, and you can embrace any philosophy, any guru, as long as you are sincere. They all lead to heaven. They all lead to nirvana. They all lead to bliss. You just have to be sincere." Do you remember Jim Jones, founder of the People's Temple? 900 members in Jonestown, Guyana, drank Kool-Aid laced with arsenic and went to meet their maker on November 18, 1978. Those who followed Jim Jones were sincere. Those who followed Charles Manson were sincere. Those who followed Adolf Hitler were sincere. Those who followed David Koresh, who claimed to be Jesus, were sincere. No, there's only one way. There's only one way, and it is very narrow. Jesus said, as we read earlier in our scripture reading, John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." There is only one way, only one, none other, no other name, Christ, and Christ alone. It is that narrow. There are no parallel or alternate gates. A holy God has the right to determine the basis upon which sinners come into His presence. And God has determined that no man can find forgiveness of sin and be accepted of Him unless he receives Jesus Christ as his own personal Lord and Savior, and trusting Him alone for his salvation. You must approach God through the gate that He has opened, and that gate is His crucified Son, crucified for you, taking your sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this gate is very narrow. As you study the term narrow, you find that it is a very, very narrow gate. It is something that you have to go through all alone, all by yourself, very close, very confined. It's very close on both sides. You must go through alone. It is a narrow gate. You do not come into the kingdom of God in groups. That's what the Jews believed. They thought that because they had Jewish ancestry, because they were circumcised, that they were in the kingdom. And there are a lot of people today who think that same way. They think that they're on the right road and the right way to heaven, and they think they got there when they started coming to church. But there are no groups coming through the metal detector. You have to go through there alone. Salvation is individual. It is exclusive and intentionally personal. You do not come into the kingdom in groups. You must enter alone. It is an individual act of faith. And not only that, you must enter naked. You can't go through one of those metal detector things with your luggage and your purse and your computer, your cell phone and whatever. You can't do it. You see, the narrow gate is the gate of self-denial. It is the gate where you strip off all of self. All of self-righteousness and sin and immorality and everything. If you're going to enter into this gate, you've got to leave your pride, your prestige, and your position behind. You unload all of that stuff, or you don't get through. It is just the opposite of the wide gate. You go through the wide gate together. You don't have to go through alone. There is absolutely nothing individual about it. No self-denial. And you can bring all of your baggage, all of your sins, all of your sexual immoralities, all of your lack of repentance, all of your lack of commitment. You can bring all of your lack of obedience. You can bring all of your rebellion. You can bring all of your pride and your self-indulgence. Anything goes, and anyone is welcome. Sin is tolerated. Truth is moderated. Acceptance is elevated. This is the gate of the road most traveled. All sins are welcomed through the wide gate. But Jesus says in verse 13, enter by the narrow gate. You must enter. It is not enough merely to listen to preaching and teaching about this gate. Not enough to study its architecture. It's not enough to admire it. It's not enough to stand back and look at it. You must enter it. Jesus said you must enter this very narrow gate, and you have to enter it on His terms. You must enter by the narrow gate. And you notice that there is a wide gate, but He doesn't tell you to enter that one because He knows what that will lead you. If you're going to be in the kingdom, you've got to enter this gate. And the question is, have you entered this gate? Because there are many, many people in the church today who think that they have entered the gate. But they're traveling a much different way than the narrow gate leads to. Which brings us to the second point. First, there are two gates. Secondly, there are two ways. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way. Verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. There are two ways, one easy and one difficult. The broad and easy way can be followed without cost. It really can. There's plenty of space to walk in there, plenty of space for the attractive things of the world to draw you and for them to grow and to allure. Plenty of space for a person just to walk about and just wander about. In fact, it's almost impossible to get off its path. The broad way is the way of the unthoughtful, the undisciplined, the lazy, the worldly, the ungodly, the materialistic, and the carnal. The broad way has no rules, has no morality. Lots of room for diverse theology, tolerance for every conceivable sin, no curbs, no limits, no boundaries. It is an inclusive way. The homosexual travels this way. The adulterer travels this way. The pornographer travels this way. The drunkard travels this way. The fornicator travels this way. This is the way for people who believe in anything or believe in nothing. They believe one way of life is just as good as another. They believe that one religion is just as equally valuable as another. They believe that all ways lead to God. That is, if there is a God. For those who believe there is no God, come on along and enjoy the journey anyway. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we are all going to die. This is the way where all of the desires of the sinful heart are fed. There is no need for humility. There's no need for the study of the Word of God. There's no need for hard and moral standards. You just go along with the crowd. It takes absolutely no character at all. It's like a dead fish floating downstream. Very easy. The current does it all. Now, opposed to that, there is another way. The narrow way. The difficult way. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. Now, the best translation is a constricted way. It's like a narrow path on a precipice. Very, very narrow. The narrow and difficult way requires commitment and determination and discipline and control and self-denial. It is a life that is totally devoted to Jesus. Totally. Every person and everything is going to have to take second place for your love and your devotion for Jesus Christ. That's the narrow way. It is a life of seeking His will. It is a life of being obedient to His Word. And a lot of times you're going to find that the narrow path can become very lonely. Because even Christians around you will not always understand your position. Even they oftentimes are encouraging you to broaden yourself. They say, you're way too narrow. Has anyone ever said that to you? You're too narrow-minded? If they haven't said that to you, maybe you ought to think about that. They say you're too narrow-minded. You're still living in the Victorian age. You have to realize that man is so much broader in 2012. You've got to broaden yourself. You don't have to adhere to all that the Bible says. Now listen. The narrow way is more than just saying that you got saved sometime in your past. The narrow way is more than cheap grace and easy believism. The narrow way is more than just saying, I believe in Jesus. I believe He died and rose again. The narrow way is more than having water sprinkled on you when you were a baby. The narrow way is more than being immersed in water when you're an adult. The narrow way is living and walking with Jesus in that newness of life according to the power of the Holy Spirit. The narrow way is putting off the old man and the affections and the lust of the flesh and putting on the new man, which is after God in Christ Jesus. It is a changed life. It is being born again by the Spirit and walking after the Spirit and being led by the Spirit and denying the flesh life. The narrow way. It's amazing that there are so many people in churches today that don't take any place of service in the church, won't take any place of leadership within the church, because that particular church insists that they live by biblical standards, that they walk the narrow way. But they won't sacrifice what they want to do when they want to do it. They won't deny themselves to serve Jesus. The narrow way. So we see that there are two gates which lead to two ways, which leads to two ends. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. The word destruction simply refers to ultimate eternal judgment in hell, everlasting torment. And it is so easy to go that way. Easy to get on and take all of the stuff that you want. Easy to walk along there because there are no standards and it is so crowded. But it ends up in only one place. It ends up in hell. One of the most fascinating creatures in the animal kingdom is the lemming. Do you know what a lemming is? A lemming is a rodent. It's just a little animal. And they have a habit that is very, very strange. Lemmings begin to go on a journey. They start traveling in a certain direction, always headed toward the sea. They go over mountains. They'll swim across rivers. They'll go through marshes. They'll go through woods and valleys and plains and deserts until finally they get to the ocean. Do you know what they do when they get to the sea? They jump in that water, swim as far as they can, and drown. And the vast majority of people in this world are just like the lemmings. They are doing everything they can to get the good life, building, battling, and buying, trying to get ahead, and all the while they are headed for the sea of death. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Jesus said the broad way leads to destruction. Bertrand Russell, in his Why I Am Not a Christian, wrote these words. I do not myself feel that any person who is profoundly human can believe in everlasting punishment. I must say that I think all this doctrine that hellfire is a punishment for sin is a doctrine of cruelty. There are many on the broad way that would agree with Russell, but the simple fact is that there is a hell, and it is the destination of all who choose the broad way. Jesus said the broad way leads to destruction. And it is an interesting thing that people want to live on the broad road, but when they die, they want the minister to come and put them in heaven, make them better off once they're gone. All of a sudden, saint them. No, the broad way narrows down into a terrible, horrible pit. The narrow way opens up into the fullness of unspeakable, everlasting fellowship of joy with God that we cannot even comprehend. It opens up to a glorious world. Two gates, two ways, two ends, and that brings us to two travelers. Enter by the narrow gate, For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. There are two travelers, the wise and the unwise. The unwise are the many. They enter the wide gate, they travel the broad and the easy way, and they end up perishing and experiencing destruction. The wise are the few. They find, and they enter the narrow gate. They travel the narrow and the hard way, and they end up in everlasting life. The masses of people today are going the wrong way. According to the world population clock, and it changes momentarily, but I looked at this on Thursday. So the population of the world then stood at 7,178,314 and counting. And a sad and tragic fact is that the majority of this more than 7 billion people are unsaved. Did you think that there were going to be more people in heaven than in hell? Jesus says right here, many and few. When Jesus referred to the few, he was referring to the minority. Only heaven knows how many are truly saved, of course, and no doubt there are millions through history that have received Jesus Christ. Yet they are the minority of the masses of this world. They are few compared to the many of this world. And there are few who find it. The implication is that you're not even going to know it's there unless you're looking. God said, Jeremiah 29:13, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Nobody ever slipped and fell into the kingdom of God. Jesus said that the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. And why are there so few? It's because the many would rather hold on to their own sin. That's what Jesus said in John 3:19. He said they love their darkness. They would rather believe in themselves. The reason few people enter this gate is not because the gate is too small, but people are too big. Jesus one time said that in order to enter into the kingdom of God, you must come as a little child. It's always been the few that seek with all of their hearts, because they're willing to pay the price and to count the cost. Few. Two gates, two ways, two ends, two travelers, and that brings us to two decisions. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. There are two decisions. The first one is no effort. The second one is a decision to seek and to find. The wide gate really requires no decision to enter. We just stand before that gate automatically by just being in this world. To enter the wide gate requires no energy, requires no search, requires no commitment whatsoever. We're just there. A person is just there, facing the gate already. All he has to do to begin his journey in life, all he has to do is just follow its broad and easy course. It is so easy to choose the broad way. Such an easy way to go. You just go with the crowd. And you know, you can add Jesus to it. Just go with the crowd and you can add Jesus to it, and you can then feel real religious. You can go to church on Sunday mornings and or belong to some kind of a system of religion that tells you that that's the way to go. And you never deny yourself and you end up in an ultimate disaster. For on the day of judgment, Jesus will say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." The narrow gate requires a decision to enter. It requires a personal decision, a firm determination to search out the entrance, and once the narrow gate has been found, an immediate and definite decision to enter is required. Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate." It is a clear decision that has to be made. It says, Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, "Choose for yourselves," he made it personal, "choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." The way is oh so narrow, but I want to tell you this evening that it is wide enough to take the chief of sinners. But you cannot escape the choice. It is an utterly inevitable choice. To make no choice is to make the choice. Two gates, one wide, one narrow. Two ways, one easy, one difficult. Two ends, one hell and one heaven. Two travelers, one wise, one unwise. Two decisions. One, no effort. The other, entering the gate. So the question is, have you really made the decision? Have you entered into the narrow gate, and are you walking the narrow way? To every man there opens a way and ways and a way. And the high soul treads the high way, and the low soul gropes the low. And in between on the misty flats, the rest drift to and fro. But to every man there opens a high way and a low. And every man decides the way his soul shall go. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Robert Frost, that great poet, uttered these famous words. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. If you take the road less traveled by, mark Jesus Christ, it will make an eternal difference. Oh, how important it is to remember these truths as we begin this new year. And one of the best ways to remember the narrow way, Jesus Christ, and to completely forsake the easy way, the broad way, is to consistently in 2012 to be thankful to Him at His table. Now, as you probably know, the Lord's table is referred to by several different terms. For instance, one of the terms used for it is the Eucharist. Have you ever heard of that? Do you know what that means? It means to be thankful. It means to give thanksgiving. And in some of the more liturgical settings, that's what they call it. It's a great word. It is also called communion, and basically what that means is that when we come to communion, we fellowship with the Lord, but we also have communion together. We share communion together. And sometimes we call it the Lord's Supper or the Lord's table. And what that means is that it is His table. It is His supper. It's not ours. It's His table. So everyone who is a believer is welcome to come. There are some churches that sort of hold people out from communion, but it is the Lord's table. And He welcomes everyone to come who has entered by the narrow gates. God's crucified Son, crucified for your sin, taking your sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so may each of you come now with a heart full of thanksgiving to fellowship with Him at His table. Let's pray.